I have an old car. It's fine, I like it. Runs well, don't want to change it. But prior to the pandemic, I was on vacation and I rented a car, and it was, I don't know what it was. It was 2020 something. I can't remember what kind of car it was. All I know is that it had a couple of toys on it that I liked. And the first one was CarPlay. You know, like, I like that. It was like you get to, all your stuff on your phone is right there on the screen, including your maps. That was cool. I like that. The other thing that I liked was a backup camera. Like I said, my car's so old, I don't have a backup camera on it. And I liked the fact that you didn't have to sort of like, you know, look back and strain to back up. And especially in a car, you don't know where all the where everything is as well, and where the your edges are and stuff. And so, you know, you just shift into reverse and you look on the display screen there, and it showed me what was behind me. You shift back into drive and the screen goes back to normal, to the CarPlay. And while it made it easier to back up, I also liked that the screen disappeared when I was going forward, because I'm easily distracted, and having a screen like that would be a big distraction. You know, my life, I don't live my life in a Fast and Furious movie. I actually go forward most of the time, not trying to drive backwards. That's most of the time I'm actually going forward. And in driving forward, you cannot be spending all your time focused on what's behind you. You can't be spending your time looking at a backup camera. You can't be spending your time, you got to glance in the rearview mirror, but you can't be spending your time there. You will not get to your destination if you go forward by looking back. At best, you're just not going to get to your destination. Most likely, you're going to crash. And I think it's exactly the same thing for our church. We are going forward. Even amidst all the uncertainty and the chaos of the pandemic, we are driving forward. And if, in doing so, we focus too much on the rearview mirror and not on the road ahead, we will probably crash, and we most certainly will not arrive at our destination. A few months ago, I asked the question about whether this pandemic was akin to a blizzard that we have to dig out of, a winter that we need to just get through, or an ice age that will change the how and what of everything we do. Well, you know, as we've slowly reopened and now had to go back to fewer people here in person because of what seems like a second wave, we've also realized over these past months that a lot of people have simply lost the habit of coming to church. That there are people who no longer see church as relevant to them. And as we survey this, we can pretty much see that it's really an ice age that we're living through. This is a monumental shift. It's not just a big storm or a long winter. This is changing how we live our lives. You know this. You know, you know how it's, how going to school is different than it used to be. How for your kids, for yourself, you know how simple things become way more complicated in this time. And I don't know that we're going to go back completely to the way it was. It's changing how we live our lives. And yet we can also see that in the midst of this, there are new people showing up. There are new people showing up online at Alpha. There are new people showing up online on our mass. This ice age has made many people more open to hearing about Christ's saving love for them. And they're coming to discover just how much faith can bring to their lives. And that is awesome. And so we are committed to reaching those people. We are committed to moving ahead with our vision for renewal and transformation, even in the chaos and uncertainty of these times. In fact, in the chaos and uncertainty of these times, it's even more important that we keep focused on what is ahead and not get bogged down or distracted by what's behind us. We can't even get distracted by the fact that this week we had to go back down to 25 people in person. We can lament what the church used to be like. We can lament what our parish was. We can lament what groups and activities and events are gone. I've felt it. I've lamented it. I know it hurts. But that is not going to move us forward. That is not going to respond to the new reality that we're facing. And it certainly isn't going to reach all those people who don't yet know that God is yearning for them. He yearns so much for them that he sent his son to become one of us, to die for us, that he died for them. They don't know that Jesus opened for us a path to eternal life. And they don't yet know that his love can transform every aspect of their lives, that his love can transform the world. It's only by looking ahead can we get moving on achieving our vision for renewal and transformation. And I don't just want renewal for St. Ignatius Parish, or even renewal for the church in Montreal. What's at the heart of all the effort in navigating a path forward and adapting to our new reality is that I want Jesus to transform our city. I want Jesus to transform our world. And I know that might sound grandiose, that might sound like crazy. I also know that I can't do it. It's too hard. But I know that Jesus Christ can. I know his Holy Spirit can. I know it can transform the world because he has transformed me. His Spirit has transformed me. And so I just want to let Christ, I just want to let the Spirit work through me, through our parish here at St. Ignatius, through our church in Montreal. And I know that the more he works through us, the more that lives are transformed, the more our city and our world is transformed. So over the next few weeks, I want to talk to you about what that transformation means, why it's so critical, and how Jesus can transform every single part of your life, can transform your relationships, your work, your home, your worship. It can transform your vacations whenever you get to take an actual vacation. He can transform your finances. He can transform every single aspect of your life. As we heard in that second reading today, Jesus emptied himself of all the glory of being God so that he could take on fully everything it means to be human. There is nothing, there is no part of you, there is no part of me that Jesus hasn't known and experienced. There's no part that he doesn't want to make better and infuse with his Spirit. And so, if it's true that Jesus took on our humanity, then it's also true that in doing so, he brings the divine, he brings God into every aspect of our humanity. God is present in everything. He is present in everything, and yet, our world's a mess. You know, how many memes have you seen like these that describe 2020? I don't need to tell you how messed up, how divided our world seems right now, except to say, you know, that right now we are not able to see people smile. We are not able to mourn properly someone who's lost someone close to them. We are not able to hug a grandchild or shake hands with an old friend. And apparently we've just started the second wave of this pandemic, and our church has had to go backwards in terms of numbers. Our world is a mess. And yet what I know is that God wants to be in the messiness of my life. He wants to be in the messiness of your life. And if he does that, then God also wants to be in the messiness of the world. That there's no part of the world that he is not fully present to. In fact, he can still be found in the messiness, in the midst of all of it. The psalm today is Psalm 25, and it's absolutely my favorite psalm. It's my favorite psalm of them all, and I want it read at my funeral. Marco, are you writing this down? You're going to make a note of that for me? And today, in the psalm, it's just a portion of Psalm 25. It's not the fullness, the full psalm. But I love the very beginning of that psalm. It says, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, O my God." I so want to give my whole being. I want to give my heart and soul to the Lord. I want to trust him with every portion of my life. I want him to make known his ways to me, teach me his paths, and lead me in his truth. My life cannot be transformed, cannot be lifted up without Jesus, without the Lord who became human and was lifted up before me. And it's the same thing for our world. Our world cannot be transformed without Jesus Christ. Without Christ, who was exalted, who was lifted up on the cross, to lift us up with him, to lift up this fallen world with him. Technology is not going to save us. You know, science, as good as it is, as important as it is, as meaningful in our impact and impactful in our daily life as it is, will not ultimately save us. And nor can we be naive and nostalgic and think that returning to old ways is gonna be the salvation. Nor we can't think that, you know, restoring Christendom, whatever that meant, is going to save us. At the heart of our fallen world, the only thing that will save us is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the only person who can save you and can save me. When G.K. Chesterton entered an essay writing contest, it was to write an essay that attempted to answer the question, what is wrong with the world? What is wrong with the world? Well, he wrote an essay that had just two words in it. I am. When asked what is wrong with the world, he said, I am. Well, I want to flip that around. Instead of the question, what is wrong with the world, now how about we ask the question, what is right with the world? And the answer to that question, it seems to me, is the same one. I am. I am what is right with the world because I am created in the image and likeness of God. I am what is right with the world because God so loved me that he asked his son Jesus to give up his life for me. God wants to lift up my heart. He wants to lift up my soul to him because I was created in his image and likeness. God wants to lift up your heart and soul as well. He wants to lift up every part of your life because you are created in his image and likeness. God also knows that you and I are able to shine a light on what is right and beautiful and just and good and true, what is of God. What is of God in our messed up world? When Jesus says, you are the light of the world, what do you think he means? When Jesus said that, "You are the light of the world," he was saying that to the crowds assembled to hear him preach. He wasn't speaking to his apostles, to Peter and Matthew and the others. He wasn't speaking to the leaders of the temple or the Pharisees or anything like that. When he said, "You are the light of the world," he meant you. He didn't mean the clergy, the institutional church. He meant you are the light of the world. And it's up to each and every one of you to be that light. And Jesus said it's the light of the world. So it's not just something that is in the church. It's not just something on Sundays or in person. And it doesn't mean, when Jesus says you are the light of the world, that you have to be in the spotlight. It means you and I are meant to be the spotlight. It means we are called to be a light and to shine on that which is right and just and beautiful and good and true and of God in the world for all the world to see. You are created in the image and likeness of God. That is meant to shine forth. And you are meant to shine a spotlight on what is of God in this world. We are called to transform the world by shining that light of Christ on it. And I guess it starts, first of all, by being, you know, the first son that we hear about in the gospel. The first son who may very well have said no for a long time, but has a change of heart and makes the choice to go and work in the vineyard. The psalm says we need to be humble to have that change of heart. We need to be humble to allow God to teach us his ways, to know and see what is good and right and beautiful in our life and in our world. Over the next few weeks, I want to talk about what that means. What it means for us here at St. Ignatius, because you and I are called to do this work together, to transform our city, to transform our parish, to transform lives. You and I are called to shine light on our city, on our parish, on our lives. But right now, I'm going to ask you to do something this week. I'm going to ask you to pray Psalm 25. Psalm 25 is this psalm that talks about us lifting our hearts up to God. That talks about asking for God to teach us his ways. What is the way forward? What is the way to get through not only this current situation, this pandemic that we're living through, but what is the way to renew not only our church, our parish here at St. Ignatius, our church in Montreal, to renew our city, to renew our world, to bring to light what is good and holy and true in it. So I'm going to ask you to pray Psalm 25. Pray that you and I can lift up our souls and pray for the humility to let God teach us his ways.